Peter's come from Essex, Don Barnard.
Well, you've had a lot of good speakers this afternoon, so it's about to change. Basically, in case I misquote myself, at the back, most of the information I'm going to talk about is in this document. Now, urine tests, in my opinion, give a new meaning to the word taking the piss, because basically that is exactly what it is doing. It's going to cost us a vast, vast fortune. And basically, I'd like to go back and read a little piece from you from a 1979 document, which was the Options for Control. It says, "It cannot be said, therefore, that the quite massive deployment of resources by the state to enforce the ban on cannabis has achieved its objectives. On all the available evidence, both consumption and illicit supply have increased greatly over the last 10 years, and it is an open question whether or not this trend will continue. At the same time, enforcement has had a number of undesirable social consequences, the most important being the considerable number of young people who have come across the law," blah, 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 it goes on. "And our aim is to examine the alternatives so we can have an open debate." Now, I was reading this, and this is when I started studying about urine tests, and I sort of looked, and I think everybody realises that the UK government on anything that's mind-altering, you don't have to guess what's going to happen to you. You just have to look at the United States of America, because we follow them quite happily. It doesn't matter that it doesn't work in America, it will work here. Now, going back to this, all this money being spent in 1979, just a few years after they started arresting cannabis users. In 1994, at the introduction of the protecting drugs together, Tony Newton, now Lord Newton, the first drug czar, the Tory drug czar, produced a consultation document. And in his document he said that the government does not accept that the case for legalisation of cannabis has been proven, and it was up to us to prove it. However, it didn't. The debate could carry on with us respecting each other's points of view. And true to his word, you know, I never thought I'd praise a Tory up, but true to his word, Tony Newton debated. We had many debates with him. And I said to him, "Why would drug test prisoners?" He said, "There's a lot of drugs in prison." I said, "Well, but why are you going to drug test them? What does that prove? Are you going to nick them all?" "Oh, no, 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 no." I said, "So therefore you get drug tested in prison and get caught, if you get, you don't get nicked." Now basically this is where we come from. Drugs testing is an invasion of privacy. It's going to lead us into such chaos in the criminal courts that basically at the end of the day, we're going to go bust. So in 1985, when Tony Newton says we're going to drug test prisoners, of course criminals drug testing, why not? Scum of the earth, as far as the general public are concerned. Why not test druggies? Well, they don't really matter, they shouldn't be taking drugs. It cost us, at that time, estimated drug budget was £526 million, and that was for everything. Today that budget is estimated to be £1.8 billion. And rising every day.
In the UK?
In the UK. Actual fact, the figure was quoted 1.4 by Mr. Halliway himself on a programme quite recently. Now, urine tests, if you look at it, in Great Britain, we have what's called the Crime and Disorder Act. And this is the Crime and Disorder Act piss testing. Basically, when they arrest you, they will test you, not for cannabis. They've decided cannabis would be far too expensive anyway, and they might upset us, and they didn't want to do that dirty, did they? So now you've got to a situation where they're now going to test anybody arrested for the use of hard drugs. Now basically, let's stop and say, let's search in the majority to find the few. I find that offensive.
sense of any moral. Now we get the situation when they have been tested, they will be going to what's called the American-style tough drug law courts, which are being piloted in Essex in October of this year. Now, Halliwell has explained to probation service and everybody that's involved in it what's going to happen, but today I can't get out of him how he's going to explain it to everybody else. But the whole thing will happen is that when you're tested, you will be given what they call the drug testament and treatment orders. Now, this is Jack Straw's, it's a carrot, and it's a quite nice carrot, really, because you go in and you do this drug testing and you satisfy it, and you're happy and you conform, then you can keep using that carrot. But you fail, and as he said in his conference speech last year, this stick is this carrot is a stick, because he's going to hit you over the head with it. And basically, they're going to build, I think, 20 new prisons by the year 2008. Are they going to reduce crime? So what do we need these damn prisons for? Now, but it's fine. But anybody in this room who thinks that urine testing is going to affect prisoners and drug takers, I should tell you, think again. Just think again. Because it's nothing new to be concerned about drug taking in people's workspaces. And why not, I'm asked? If you don't take drugs or you don't drink, why should you be worried about urine tests? Well, if you're a woman, you have to be pregnant and don't know it and apply for a high-class job in the United States. Not the federal companies in the States, but in private business, so they can tell whether you have diabetes from this. And they are being unscrupulous. So, going back to the 1990s, Americas, I think, if you'll allow me just quickly to sort of show you where it all came from. It started off what was known as a army initiative to stop people who were using cannabis playing with billion-dollar fireworks when they went back to work, so they decided that they would drug test them. And of course they had quite a problem with the law, but it went in. After that, they decided that prisoners, the cons, so they decided to test the prisoners. And prisoners contested the laws. And they decided after that, why not the workforces? And in 1979, the media started talking about $33 billion being lost by industry. In 1978, Nancy Reagan, just so there, just say no Reagan, another import from America, turned around and said that no company should be allowed to do business with the federal government unless they had a urine policy in position. So consequently, in the next few years, urine testing rose in companies from a very small minority to about 27%. And then Mr. I think it was Reagan or Bush, Nancy Reagan, but it got to be Bush, he went on record saying that the American government business were losing $600 million a year through urine testing and bop, up into the air. So after a while, it's beginning to sound a little bit familiar, I think. But after a while, the media were quite successful. The anti-druggies, or the anti-cannabis, because America is not anti-druggy, all their laws are aimed at cannabis. It is literally to stop people using cannabis. So after a while, the media then came up and said, X number of 14 to 15-year-olds are using cannabis in our schools. The next thing we got was Parents Against Drugs, anti-drug, who did that? Demanding higher sentences for drug users and demanding that their children be tested weekly to see if they were using drugs in school. But again, they only tested for cannabis. At the very, very same time that they were strip searching children and taking their urine and testing to see if they were getting drugs, they were banning corporal punishment. Now, I can't see the point in where we're coming from. So, I've got to be sure, because this is so long. Now we come to the situation, everybody was up in arms, and they were taking cases, left, right and centre. And I've just got one for you police officers present because, you know, basically I realise you've got a job to do and I also realise that you're distested as already. And this started from 1998, when Halliwell, at the meeting of employers, turned around in response to drugs in our schools, drugs in the workplace, drugs and driving, advocated drug testing for drivers, drugs testing in the workplace, drugs testing for hospital workers and emergency services. In fact, drug testing became at that point the central point of the criminal justice system. Now, if you have a situation that you are going to drug test someone, and basically, I'm not saying that drug tests should not be used. Because if I got on a bus and I was driving along and someone had just had a joint and crashed it, I would not be impressed. Because that person, as far as I'm concerned, everybody does it in this room, they're highly irresponsible. You don't do, of course, any good whatsoever. And I'm sorry if I have to say that, and I know that there are some in this room that do it. But you have a situation now where they will stop you on the side of the road, and they're not going to drugs test you, because they have no facilities to drug test you on the side of the road yet. But what is being done, and it's being done, and be warned, that it's being done on all over the country at the moment, what they are actually doing is they're giving a card that shows pupil sizes. They're not straight from America. It's not a funny matter, actually. But they will stop you, and they stop you for drinking driving. 500,000 people every year pass the drink drive tests. If you bring in drugs driving, you've got to test them. At 15 quid a hit, you know, then you can test, up goes the money. But not the policeman. The policeman is going to stop you, and he was going to say, I believe you have been using some other substance, sir. Can I look at your pupils?
Yeah.
And he will look at your pupils. And now he's a scientist, of course. He will then ask you, like they did in the 50s, if anybody's older than me can remember it, where you were drinking drive and the policeman stopped you and he asked you to walk up the middle of the road with cars coming in both directions. If you didn't get killed, you were sober time for that to do. This is what he's going to do. If you poke your finger in your eye, then he will arrest you. He will take you to the police station where you will have to be drug tested. Why not? Why not drug test you? If he believes in his training and you have been driving on the earth, why shouldn't he be allowed to drug test you? So we let him do it. Now it comes back that you've been using cannabis. He said, well, no, I haven't. They said, well, you must have been. It's in your eye. See that? In America, and this is something for everybody, a treat, and the policeman. The police officer was arrested in America and charged, and, well, not arrested, he was urine tested, and he came up positive for cannabis. And they sacked him, New York police officer. And he said, man, but I haven't been using cannabis. And he said, yes, you have. You're sacked. He took them to court and conclusively proved that the use of cannabis hemp supplement oils were responsible for his positive drug test. Now, basically, I'm not suggesting anybody out here use cannabis, good and buys cannabis oil products, unless I'm getting a commission from the people that are selling it. But it's worth thinking about. What was the urine testing's attitude to this? Their attitude was, well, you have to stop these hemp seed oil products. And they asked the US government to ban hemp seed oil products because it copped up their urine tests and they couldn't get around them. Well, obviously, I don't know whether it's going to happen, quite possibly. But we have now got a situation where the New York police issued a statement to their employees that when they are consuming snack foods, they must examine the contents on the side of the packet to ensure they are not consuming something that can trigger a positive drugs test.
Now, you see how Lucas is from the United States of America. Following on from that, they decided to test the White House personnel.
Now, we got to the top. We get to Britain soon.
But they decided to test the White House personnel. And, of course, everybody said, hang on, why do you want to test us? And they said, well, we shouldn't want to deal with the president. You know what I mean. Basically, they said, no, we're not having it. And the railway guard said, we're not having it. It's against our Fourth Amendment against privacy and search, illegal search. So they took it to court. Last year, it came to court. And the Supreme Court ruled, yes, urine tests were an illegal search. And yes, it did infringe the person's Fourth Amendments, which we haven't got here yet, but it's coming. But in the interest of the government's desire to achieve a drugs-free workplace, the individual's Fourth Amendment rights of privacy and illegal search were superseded out of the door. Now we've got a situation in Great Britain, because I need to get there because I think I'm running out of time. In Great Britain, people say, well, what about it? Drugs misuse in the workplace. I picked this up in the Dole office, would you believe, thinking, hello, I've got some information here. And it's addressed to employers. And it tells the employers that we can't make you do this. But basically, if you've got a drug problem, 33% of all known drug misusers are in employment. Many of them are in your factory. Now, I don't know whether anybody in this room works for a truck. Anybody in this room drive a lorry? Anybody knows who works for United Carriers? Because I'm waffling. Now, what have we got a situation? My son came home and I've always said to him, you know, get wise, boy. You want to get into what's happened to you in your factory. He doesn't approve of me smoking, really. He's 25 years old, and he goes, yeah, Dad, like many people in this room are probably dealing with this moment. Before I came away yesterday, he went, look at this, Dad, I've been given my contract of employment and discharge. Refusal to cooperate with a drug or alcohol test. He will be instantly dismissed. Now, he loads lorries up. And as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the law in this country, and you look at the law in employment, again, it's not new. And if anybody wants a copy of this at a later day, if they sort something out with Alan Marks, I came across this again in my research. Now, this is advice to Liberty on drugs testing in the workplace in 1994. Now, 1994, it's now year 2000, and I'm here talking about drugs testing. It's too late. I'm telling you about something that is happening, will continue to happen, unless we get into the system which makes these stupid laws. And what I would like, if I can, I do promise you big speeches have gone out the window. What I would like is to take you back to the United States, because a day is a long time in politics. In 1998, the White House tested the employers. Coming away yesterday, I had to get Alan to round this up for me when I got here. Drugs testing for the state employees to be extended. Lansing State Journal, Minnesota. Wednesday, 1st of March, year 2000. Effectively, they're going to introduce 13,000 more people of state employees are going to be added to the random drugs testing. These include plumbers, prison workers, electricians. So if there's any prison officers in here, be warned, you might be testing the lads today, but tomorrow it's your.
Excuse me, have you got 5-year-old little girls in there?
Would you like to basically drop that? I don't know in which direction you're coming from, but in 1990, after we got the situation in 1979, 1980s, when they finished with the employment people, they started on stocks, as I explained to you. And if you're referring to, as I believe you are, to the 80-year-old guy, now, that concerns me. It does concern me, because it gives, I don't know whether the child was using cannabis, but what concerns me most is that reports that I read said that this was discovered in a routine medical test.
That's the point.
Now, I don't believe, well, I asked, and I have yet to find anybody who can tell me what a routine medical test for any purpose other than illicit use of drugs will show up the use of cannabis. Which, quite rightly, brings us to the point of civil rights. We haven't got them in this country yet. But what the parents went up in the air. Now, basically, if they tested that child, they are already using it in hospitals without the children's guardian's permission. And I believe that is illegal. I think it is also very, very immoral, but I don't want to get into the stage of why that child tested positive for cannabis, because I don't know the full details.
It's just so worrying that a routine medical test drug.
Well, yeah, but you see, this, you can worry about...
If I go to a routine medical, are they going to find out I've got a cannabinoid metabolite in me?
Yeah.
We're going for kidney stones, you know.
Basically, yes. No, you know, I said to you that, in actual fact, the speech that I was going to give you was there. I haven't read that. Nurse. But you bring a point up of most importance, that are they going to test you? Now, does social services use this for that test? The probation service now use them, the prison service use them, the employers use them. Go through it. But what about social workers? I know a young lady who recently had a child and wasn't the cannabis she was using, but she used to hire with the Jai Line and Charlie a weekend, like lots of other people do, and as you do. And she went into hospital and foolishly, and I say foolishly, happened to mention that she used to use it front and out again. The next day, social workers turned up. And they said, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I did, yes. I said, well, this is the situation. You will not be allowed to leave this hospital with your child and go to a place, your own flat, which you have. You must go and live with a responsible person, which she had a mother who was fair to stand by, but she was lucky. But that mother was not responsible enough. Because they also insisted she must have a visit from a drug counsellor and a social worker every day. She must submit herself to urine tests, and only and if and until the social services were satisfied that she was capable of getting on with that, looking at that child, would she be allowed to move back to her own flat. She's now luckily back in her own flat. Right? The alternative was, we will take your child into care until you do satisfy these regulations. So, as I said, you'll be a pregnant mother, you'll be on at work, you'll be driving your car, or we might even go to Sweden, although I have read in CC Times, I think, this week, that Sweden, Sweden is rolling over. Now, basically, Sweden at the moment is the most draconian drug laws there are. And it comes back to this contract. Has anybody in this room ever sat back and thought, whatever a politician says today about anything, it's dissected, it's queried, it's called a liar. But when it comes to drugs, drugs policy, we allow them to do what they like, say what they like, with very little attention. Now, that is what happened in America. And that, friends, unless you wake up, buy the book at the back and learn more about it, I don't think I've told you enough. I think, basically, it is most important that, one,
We no longer keep talking to the street learner. Because I have 16-year-old kids who know more about dope than I know. For reading our websites, or reading magazines, or listening to Howard Marks. But I believe that where we should be addressing ourselves is at the local authorities, the local drugs action teams, and asking them, you are accountable for the drugs expenditure money. Halliwell is accountable nationally for it. And I'll finish up with a circular that was sent out to local authorities, chief executives, and a few other top knots who shall remain nameless. And this is the budget that Halliwell, that I started up with, drugs, testing, and treatment. This is Halliwell's budget for the year 1999-2002. For personal social services, 17.5 million. National Health Authority's drugs misuse special allocation, 2038-50 million. Comprehensive provision of treatment and problem drugs misuse in prison, 60 million. This is the best one. Voluntary drug testing in prison, 12 million. Not only are they going to do random drugs testing, you've got to make it volunteer now. And how that works is, you go into prison and you test positive for cannabis, and they say, would you like to take treatment? And you think to yourself, what's this mean? And they say, well, this means you get colour television instead of black and white one. You get carpets on the floor and you get extra food. So anybody who's going to nick for any reason, my suggestion to you is have a junk before you go. Tell them you've got a problem, have a good life while you're there. Now, we end up with drugs. Pilot of drugs testing treatment orders. The 1999-2001 million. And I asked, what's that for? Administration setting up, getting things going. Halliwell running around the country telling lies. But we're going to really sort it out in 2001 because we're giving 20 million to it there. And then in year 2002, we're going to give 40 million to it. So basically, what you're looking at is urine testing for everyone, unless we really, really get it across to everybody that it's not just drugs, it is control, chemical control. And I'd like to finish, if I can find the back of my speech, and tell you why I joined the CLCIA, because it's here somewhere. Now, the situation as I see it is this. When it comes to political attitudes towards drugs, it seems the major parties are not keen to take on what I believe is the common sense attitude on cannabis. Recently, Mo Mullen admitted that she had smoked cannabis. Drugs Czar Keith Halliwell recently suggested that more drugs offences be dealt by with cautions in courts. It is symptomatic of the today's political climate that as a result of the foray surrounding these issues, Tony Blair orchestrated a meeting between Halliwell, Mo Mullen, and parents of STD victim Liv Betts. He called them in to assure their Betts parents that the governments had no intention of softening the laws on drugs. Just who does this government represent? Does it represent the majority? What do they represent their best parents? Because basically that is what it said to me. Halliwell wants to stop nicking us and putting us in jail. And we promise Lear Betts that we won't let 100,000 people every year smoke dope. Now this is why I'm supporting the Legalised Cannabis Alliance, and it seems that in the day's democratic climate, we need this. I apologise for waffling on, but I don't like talking to people.